Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I told you, some of you that were here on Wednesday, had a good group on Wednesday night. I told you, again, I gave you a little teaser. Told you we were going to talk about addictions today. And that's true. We're going to talk about addictions. That may be why there's so many people missing today, no. I thought I was going to start naming names. No, I'm not going to name names. We're going to talk about a different kind of addiction, though. It's not maybe not quite like what you were thinking, but I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. The Bible says, "You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you, brothers, to submit to such as these as to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunus, and Achaeus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you. For they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition." These verses, if you read those verses, you may try to, maybe hard to figure out, where's he going? How does he get an addict from that? I want to show you in the King James Version, verse 15. Do I have that one there? The next verse? Should the next, just go the next verse. There it is. This is King James Version, verse 15. How many of you have the King James Version in your hands? Okay. Now, if you read it there, you know what I'm talking about, right? "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." A lot of times we think of addictions, and that's a bad thing. We think of being addicted to something as bad. But let me tell you something. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, and that was a good thing. It's good to be addicted sometimes. Paul noticed, you know, he had been traveling around, and he noticed in all of his travels how these particular people stood out in his mind. They stood out. He saw them. He saw what they were doing. And in the last part of that passage I read, in verse 18, it says, "For they refreshed my spirit and yours also by seeing that they had addicted themselves." They refreshed my spirit, he says. It was good to see people addicted, is what he's saying. It was good. They were addicted. They were addicted, and it was good, and it refreshed my spirit. What is an addiction? Addictions come in all shapes and sizes, but the truth is, an addiction, if you think about it, an addiction invades all aspects of a person's life. Right? The addiction is always on their mind. Maybe you're addicted to something yourself, and or you know somebody who's addicted to something, and you look at them and you think, wow, that's all they do is think about this. It's on their mind when they wake up. It's on their mind when they go to bed. Matter of fact, they even arrange their daily activities around their addiction. They don't go to certain places because they can't take their addiction with them. They go to certain places because their addiction is welcomed. You see what I'm saying? You know people. You know what I'm talking about. The addiction is, it invades every aspect of their life. It consumes them. They've got to get some. And they'll do whatever it takes. These people that Paul is talking about, he says they addicted themselves. And this implies a voluntary action, right? He didn't say they woke up one morning and they found that they were addicted, that they had become addicted. that they slipped into an addiction. They were overpowered and overwhelmed and became addicted. No, he said they addicted themselves. What does that imply? That they chose to be addicted. They did what it took to become addicted. And they chose, they looked at it and said, that's what I want to become addicted to. I'm going to step forward and I'm going to make myself addicted to that. It's a voluntary action. They addicted themselves. They didn't wait to be offered. They didn't say, well, I'm going to sit here and if somebody offers me, then I will partake. No, they didn't do that. And they weren't picky either. Reminds me of a story. Remember the story of Nehemiah in rebuilding of the wall back in the Old Testament? Nehemiah was, he wanted to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. They had been taken captive and they were off in foreign countries and he wanted to go back and rebuild the wall. And so he went back and he took some people with him and gathered some other people that were still in the area and they started working on the wall and he had a mixed group of people, but the people I'm thinking of are the apothecary. Y'all know what the apothecary, it's not a common word we use anymore. I know where I grew up, there was a place, a business called the apothecary shop. I never understood what it was. It was a drugstore and they sold perfumes and stuff. Well, really, that's what the apothecary were. The apothecary were the ones that they made the medicines. They took the oils and they infused it with the spices and they worked with all that so they could have oils for anointing that they used, you know, frequently. And so think about this. These apothecary, let me put it in today's terms. They were glorified perfume makers, okay? Their hands were soft. They worked with perfume and oils all day and making medicines and medications. And they were, you know what Nehemiah asked them to do? Mix the mortar. He asked them to mix mortar for the wall. Now, how many of you ever mixed mortar? Taking a sack of concrete, put it in a wheelbarrow, taking a hoe, you know, and they didn't even have the holes with the hose in them, you know, to make it easier. I mean, I don't know what they used. They probably used their hands a lot. Okay, think about that. These people, these perfume makers with soft hands, mixing mortar with sand and lye, whatever else they put in it, just mixing all this stuff up. Hard on their hands. Were they picky? They said, no, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Nehemiah asked them to mix the mortar. They did. They could have said, well, I'm a professional. I don't do that. That's not my talent. I'll anoint the wall for you. I will make the wall smell pretty for you or whatever. They didn't say that. They said, whatever you need. Whatever you need. I'm in. And you know what? Because of that attitude, you know they finished the wall in 52 days? It's a big old wall around the city. They did that. They could have said, I'm a professional. I'm not an unskilled grunt. That job is beneath me. Right? They could have said that. No. They addicted themselves and they completed the job. We need some addicts. The church needs some addicts. We need some addicts who are not picky. There's another passage I want to read to you in the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 2, beginning of 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. You remember in the King James Version, it says they addicted themselves. The NIV said they devoted themselves. That word devoted shows up right here again too. So when I think about, well, they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They devoted themselves. So what does that look like? Here's what it looks like. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Because they did this, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, and they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Do you know why God added daily to their number those that were being saved? You know why he did that? Because they had addicted themselves to those things, to prayer, to the teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread with each other. They addicted themselves to each other. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And because they honored God in that fashion, God blessed them. And he increased their number daily. It was amazing. This time in Acts chapter 2 was the church grew exponentially. It just blew up. It was just amazing. They addicted themselves. To get addicted, to become an addict, what do you have to do? You have to start. Whatever it is you're going to be addicted to, first you have to start, right? You start. You know, you think about someone who may have become addicted to smoking, okay? Let's just say somebody's addicted to smoking. I know from people I've talked to, people I've seen, people I've asked, people who I've heard stories, that when they first started smoking, they didn't like it. I mean, they started and started coughing, and it was horrible. But they went back to it again and again, and it became easier for them or whatever. Think about if you've ever known someone who's addicted to the drink, to alcohol, something like that. Most oftentimes, they'll probably tell you, the first time, it made me sick. I didn't like it. It burned, or whatever. You know, if you know somebody or been around anybody that's addicted to drugs, they would tell you the same thing. I remember when I first, I didn't like it. Listen, the truth is probably the same for you and I. When we decide to get addicted to God's work, we may not like it at first. There may be some things we like, would want to say, I don't do that. That's for somebody else. I'm different. I have soft hands. Right? But they chose to addict themselves. But you can't get addicted unless you start. You have to start. That's the truth. You can't become an addict unless you first start. And the other thing is you have to be willing to take a risk. Sometimes being an addict is risky. This is gross, okay? But I just have to tell you this because there are stories, and you probably have heard them, but there's some people that are addicted to the drugs so bad that when they travel somewhere, they have to take their drugs with them, okay? But they know they're going to be searched. And so you know what they do? Let me tell you, this is how an addict thinks. They'll take the drugs and put it in a balloon and tie the top of the balloon off, make it tight, right? Swallow the drugs, and it won't digest because it's inside the balloon, right? When they get to their destination, they wait until it makes an exit, clean it off, take it out of the balloon, and take their drug, okay? That's true. That's a fact. That's the way they move these drugs. That's one of the ways they move these drugs. But now you may be sitting there thinking that is crazy. That is far out there. And you're right. It is. But that's how addicted these people are. But here's the risk. If that balloon were to burst, or that balloon were to get a little tear in it inside their system, you know what it would do to them? It'd kill them. But they're so addicted, they've got to have it, that they're willing to take that risk. Sometimes working for God is risky. But if you're going to be addicted, you have to be willing to take a risk. And again, I'm telling you, remember, we're not talking about we wake up one morning and we find that we're addicted. It's not like that. That's not what Paul said. He said they addicted themselves. They voluntarily said, I want to be addicted. And they did what it took to become addicted to the ministry of the saints. In 2009, there's a company that decided they want to have a huge market share in the world. The company's name was Coca-Cola. And in 2009, they made their motto, a Coke in the hand of every man. That was their motto in 2009. They decided to make that their motto. A Coke in the hand of every man. They said it currently, this is again in 2009, they said currently, we every day, we put our product in the hands of 773 million people a day. But that's not enough. We want, by 2014, we want to have our product in the hand of every man on the planet. So they made their motto, a Coke in the hand of every man. They were obsessed with their product, and they were obsessed with getting it in the hands of every person on the planet. You know what they call their product? What's the nickname they call their product? Coke. They call it the real thing. Nothing like the real thing, baby. Right? The real thing. They wanted to get the real thing in the hands of every man on the planet. You know why they got so concerned with it, though? You know why? What concerned them so much that they said, we've got to get our product in the hand of every man by 2014. You know why? I heard it. Who said it? Pepsi-Cola came along. A false cola in their mind. Not the real thing in their mind. And Pepsi, the reason they got so concerned was Pepsi-Cola was growing in third world countries three times faster than Coca-Cola. They said, wait a minute. We can't have the world getting a false cola. We need to put the real thing in their hand before they get a false cola. Now that's a message for missions right there, isn't it? That'll preach. We got to get them the real thing before they get a false cola. They weren't doing it for spiritual reasons. They were doing it for money. But the truth is, they thought, our product is superior. Our product is the real thing. Our product is right and true. And somebody's going to stick something that's false in their hand, and we don't want that. So by 2014, we want to put our product, the real thing, in the hand of every man on the planet. And once they get the real thing, they won't be enticed to partake of a false cola. I could make all kinds of messages on that. They said, we don't care how it gets there. We're going to have to get it there. We'll send it in glass. We'll send it in cans. We'll send it in bottles. We'll even package it up in plastic sacks with a spout on it, and they can mix it with carbonated water themselves. Whatever it takes, we're going to get the real thing all over the world. You know, excuse me, I'm sorry. The formula in all these methods of distribution, no matter what you put it in, if you put it in a glass bottle, you can put it in a styrofoam cup if you get it out of the fountain. It doesn't matter. The thing about Coca-Cola is that their formula is the same. however the product is packaged, the formula is the same, and it's a mysterious formula. It cannot be duplicated. Many have tried, but it's not the real thing, right? I mean, if you've tasted something else that's called cola, you go, it's not the real thing, is it? I miss my Coke. How many of you remember New Coke? New Coke, y'all remember that? Coca-Cola thought, well, you know what? Here's another, I mean, this is another whole other sermon we could do. Coca-Cola thought, maybe the reason these false colas are being so successful is maybe we need to change our formula a little bit and be more like them, right? And it was a complete flop. I mean, New Coke is no longer around. It didn't last very long at all. New Coke took a dive. And Coca-Cola, the whole Coca-Cola industry hurt because of it. That was the only time that Coca-Cola decided to change their formula. Well, they end up going back, and then they called it Coca-Cola Classic. It's the real, real thing, right? They went back to the real thing. And I tell you, there are some churches out there that are taking the formula and deciding to change it a little bit so that it'll be successful. But it's a false cola. It's not the real thing. And again, we could make several different messages on that. These different methods of distribution can represent different churches. You can have small churches. And you could have a church that says, you know what? We are the church of the glass bottle. This is the original method of distribution. Bless God, we were the first. And if you want to partake of this superior product, it must be in a glass bottle. This is how my mother received it. This is how my grandmother received it. If you're going to get the real thing, it must be in a glass bottle. It was good enough for them, it was good enough for me, and it's good enough for you. The real thing must be distributed in a glass bottle. But then guess what? Along came the can. Can said, hold on, wait a minute. We're the first church of the can. Everything here is canned. The music is canned. The sermons are canned. The lessons are canned. The programs are canned. The only way to receive the real thing is in a can. It's more portable. It doesn't break easy. It must be packaged in a can. And then came this dude. This plastic bottle. This guy, I mean, they show up. You can do all kinds of stuff with a plastic bottle. I mean, this bottle shows up, and this church, I mean, they jump around on the stage. They do backflips. They have laser beams and light shows and projectors, and they do all kinds of stuff, right? And these guys, they say, hey, it's the real thing, baby. It raises its hands, it jumps around, it acts like it's having a good old time. And these people, they say, you know what? The only way to get the real thing is in a plastic bottle. If you're going to get the real thing, it must be in a plastic bottle. Let me tell you something. You know what the difference between this product and this product in here is? Packaging. What's the difference between the contents of these packages? It's the same. It's the same. And maybe we have your 8-ounce church, right? Small little bitty old church. Then you have your, is this 12? How many ounces is a can? 12 ounces. Maybe you have your next, your 12-ounce church, and they're a little bit bigger, right? Have a little more stuff they can do. Then you got your 20-ounce church, a little bit bigger, right? Well, guess what? Maybe you go to a big church. A big church. Huge, gigantic. More than one person could take at one sitting. And that's okay. That's okay. The products, if they're the real thing, okay? If they're not false cola, if they're the real thing, then the product should be the same. Doesn't even matter if you go to a mega church. The size, that's right. That's right. Doesn't matter the size. If it's the real thing, the product is the same. The product is the same. Every generation must discover their method of distribution if they're going to deliver the real thing to their community, to their work, to their friends, to their schools, to their society. And I'll tell you the truth. If you're addicted to the real thing, it doesn't matter how you get it. If you're addicted to the real thing, you don't care how you get it. You just want some. You need it. You've got to have it. You'll do whatever it takes to get it. Are you addicted? Do you want to be addicted? It doesn't just happen, y'all. It doesn't just happen. Paul said they addicted themselves to the ministry. Remember point number one? What do you have to do to get addicted? You have to start. You have to get started. Maybe that means you need to get involved with a small group. Maybe that's Sunday school. Maybe that's men's or women's ministry. Maybe that's beginning a group, a Bible study in your home or at the church somewhere else. Maybe that's what it is. But let me tell you something. It's going to be hard to get addicted if you're not partaking regularly. Small groups is where it happens, I'll tell you. As far as the church, small groups is where it happens. It's what makes it happen. You develop those friendships, those relationships, and the small groups is where it happens. I mean, the big church, this meeting right here is good. It's great. It does things that you can't do in a small group. But let me tell you, you really, really grow in those small group atmospheres. So maybe you need to dive into Sunday school. Maybe you need to dive into a Bible study time. For some, maybe getting started means you need to give your life to Christ. Maybe getting started means you need to first get a taste of the real thing and decide to addict yourself to the real thing. Addict yourself to Jesus Christ. Committing to Him to follow His lead and allowing Him to forgive you. For others, it might mean trying the can. Or the plastic bottle. Or the regular bottle. Or whatever it is. Maybe it means that you're saying, I'll do whatever it takes to get some of the real thing. Because I'm addicted to it. And I need it. And I've got to have it. Maybe you're satisfied with being a social partaker. You know, we're talking about alcohol, people are addicted to alcohol. There's a lot of people who are just social drinkers. When the setting's right, they'll partake. They're not addicted. But when the setting is right, they'll look like everybody else. It may be you find that you're just a social partaker today. It may be you need to say, for you, to get started means I'm going to dive in. I'm going to do, like Paul said, I'm not going to wake up one day and find myself that maybe I've become addicted. I'm going to addict myself. Maybe that's what it means for you. I'm going to do something different this morning. For invitation time, I'm just going to ask Rebecca to play a little bit of music for a little while. I'm not going to ask you to stand up right now. I don't know where you are. I struggle. I struggle with my addiction. And sometimes I'm not as addicted as I need to be. And this message was more for me than you, maybe. It was just as much for me as it was for you. But maybe you need to find, maybe you find yourself that you just need to get addicted to Jesus. Maybe you need to get yourself addicted like those people in Acts chapter 2, addicted to the prayer, to the apostles' teachings, to the breaking of bread together and the fellowship. Maybe you need to get yourself addicted to that, addicted to church. But it's not just church. Church is just a word that encompasses all this relational stuff and all this maturity and this growth. Maybe you say, you know what, I'm not really addicted because I'm not growing anything. I've just been kind of in coasting. I'm just a social partaker. I think it begins with committing yourself to Christ. And so this morning, I'm just going to say, for the first few moments, you just stay seated, and I'm going to invite you to come and to pray. To come and to kneel down and say, I want to become an addict. I want to get to the point where I gotta have it. I want to get to the point where I just can't get enough and I need more and more. And so for the next few moments, this altar is open. You come. If the Lord's impressing upon you, you come and you kneel and you pray. Tell God what you want to do. Tell God what you want Him to do in and through you. And after a few moments, we'll do something a little bit different. But that's what I want to do right now. And I just didn't want to invite you at this time for a few moments.